What desire and interest in your prayers need the Lord this morning? Lord, would speak to our hearts. I'd like to share with you what He's been talking to me about. It felt like inspired me to share with you. Trust the Lord to take and do with it what He sees appropriate. I'd like to begin in the book of Romans, written on the board, the words, given to hospitality. Romans, the 12th chapter, where we'll begin this morning. Romans chapter 12, beginning in the 9th verse of Romans 12, says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality." These are a number of different practical duties that are expected or required or appropriate or fitting for the calling of a Christian that are enjoined upon us. It says, let love be without dissimulation. What we do is to be much more than just a form or going through the motions or just knowing how to act, knowing the way that's expected of me to behave myself around others. But I thank the Lord that there is a love that He puts within our hearts for one another. By this, Jesus said, shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you have love one for another, if you have a care and a concern, that's not just natural to mankind in a fallen world. To have thought of someone else, to think of others' needs and their feelings and the things that they're going through, even at my own expense. But let love be without dissimulation. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. And then the last verse that we read tells us to distribute to the necessity of saints and to be given to hospitality. Now this is a message, a thought I don't believe the Lord's ever impressed me to give before, but I believe that it's appropriate for us as God's people to be given unto hospitality. You know, people are given to a lot of things in their lives. They give their passions, they give their efforts to be able to succeed or excel at a given thing. They give themselves to it. They give their time. They give their energy. They give their efforts. They invest of themselves in that thing that is of importance to them. That's that they love, that they desire to do. They give themselves unto it. Well, this tells us in this love without dissimulation, in this sincerity of heartfelt love for one another, that we are to give ourselves unto hospitality. Well, what is hospitality? There's a whole there's a whole industry around hospitality. It's called the hospitality industry. That serves customers and food and a place to stay and those sorts of things. But it's a business. It is, for the most part, a for-profit organization or business that is serving customers. Hospitality means, by these words, given lover of guest, being fond of hosting guests, or as we'll talk a little later this morning, a lover of hosting strangers. So the scriptures instruct us to be given to hospitality. Let this be our heart and our desire. Let's turn now to 1 Peter. The 4th chapter of 1 Peter. In the 7th verse, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins." You know, this puts a pretty high value and importance on having love one for another. We know that it is our duty to love God. He first loved us. Though we're called to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But Jesus didn't stop there. Whenever he was citing the two great commandments, he said, "And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." If you get these right, which have to do with love from your heart, it'll take care of so many other things that you have to have laws and regulations and constraints to govern the way you interact with other people and the things that you do in your own life. Love God and love one another. Whenever it says the end of all things is at hand. All right, so now we're talking about the important things. And this is one of them that was included. Now, I believe that we all understand that this is not a religion of works. That we don't earn our way into heaven. That you can't write enough checks to charity to earn and reserve a spot in heaven. You're not going to be able to feed enough homeless people, as noble and worthy as that cause might be, to earn your way into heaven. But I think of where Jesus said, "These things ought ye to have done. Serve the Lord. Get the first fruits right. Get the most important thing right. But don't leave the other undone." That is a part of it as well. And maybe it's one that we don't speak on or consider as often. But I want us to consider these things this morning by the help of the Lord. The 4th chapter, again in the 8th verse, says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves." You know, that sounds like more than just a casual getting along with, tolerating, putting up with. And you know, in human interactions and dealings, there will be an element of putting up with one another. There will be an element of having, of bearing and forbearing. The scriptures deal with that, but it's instructing us here that when we have fervent, heartfelt charity and love in our hearts, it'll cover a multitude of sins. Not that it'll atone for sins, but it'll cover. It'll be like the lubricant in that automobile. It'll cover those things so they don't just grate and irritate and annoy and chafe to the point that I lose my peace and I can't get along with anybody and I'm grumpy all the time. And have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And I believe that there's a lot that we could take away from and consider from this passage of Scripture of the manifold grace of God. We are to minister of spiritual things. We are to lift up the hands that hang down. We are to strengthen the feeble knees. We are to say to him that is of a fearful heart, "Fear not, thy God reigneth." We are to give a word in season to him that is troubled and distressed and downtrodden. I believe that the Lord gives to us, firstly for my own soul's sake. But I don't believe it stops there. I believe that what the Lord gives unto me, I am to be a steward of, that I am to put to good use. So what should I do if the Lord comforts me? The scriptures teach us that same comfort wherewith you yourself were comforted. You go now and you take and you minister that comfort to other people. Use that. Use what the Lord has given you to be able to bless and help other people. Folks, it does me no good to try to help somebody else and lose my own soul. My soul comes first. But the Lord does not, I believe, want us to live a life that is unto ourselves. A life that is to no further or greater end than to serve myself and my interests and my needs. Oh, the scripture says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits." Have you been blessed of the Lord? You know, I believe that we are a blessed people in so many different ways. And I need to remember that sometimes and be reminded of that. When I'm tempted to murmur and complain and hang my head low, "Lord, you have been so good to me. Lord, you have done so much for me. I have been a recipient of the manifold grace of God." It is not just in spiritual things. That is the most important. You know, the Lord sends the rain. He sends the sunshine. He causes the flowers to grow. He causes the birds to sing outside my window. The Lord gives me the strength to get up and go to work and do the things that I need to do. You know, you can tell by looking at me that I've been able to enjoy my meals. The Lord's provided that. Folks, everything comes from God. And I think about the children of Israel whenever they were slaves in Egypt. They didn't really have the means to provide for themselves. They were servants. They were slaves. So what they do goes to the master. But you know, before they left out of the land of Egypt, they got a hold of some gold and some purple, and I don't remember, all kinds of precious and valuable things that they carried out of Egypt with them. And the time came when the cry went out, "We need to build a place for the Lord to dwell in. Let everyone who is of a willing heart..." Folks, that's how the Lord's service is. It's not to be a forced service. But let everyone that is of a willing heart and mind stir him up. And they brought all manner of the things that were needed for the building of the tabernacle, later the temple. They brought and contributed those things that were their own. They were given to their hands. They belonged to their family. They could have saved it, made plans for it in the future, but they gave it. And the scripture says, I didn't write it down, get it here in one place, when they were bringing and consecrating those things to the Lord, they said, "Lord, these things came from thine own hand. And Lord, we're just giving it back to you." Folks, everything that comes into our lives is from the Lord. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights. in temporal and in spiritual things. The Lord blesses us, and the Lord provides for us, and the Lord cares for us. And it's fitting that we thank the Lord for that. You know, I believe the Lord also does not want us to take those things and to be of a mindset like the fool who said, "Now I have much wealth. I have many things laid up in store. My soul, eat, drink, be merry, take thine ease." Lord, help us to put Him first. And this is part of the Lord's work. Use hospitality without grudging. So it lets me know that I could use hospitality, but do it grudgingly. And the scriptures say, no, do it from your heart. Put your heart into serving other people, into ministering unto other people in their needs and in their life. It says, as every man has received the gift. What gifts has the Lord given to you? Be it temporal, spiritual, talents, abilities. You know, some people are artistic. You say, well, what am I going to do with that? You know, I've seen people that have taken their talents in artwork and they've made greeting cards and sent those to people that were in need, and it blessed them. What has the Lord given to me? Lord, I want to be a good steward of that. Maybe artwork is not my thing. But Lord, what have you given unto me? How can I take that and use it to bless and help other people, to minister unto them? As we have received the gift, whatever those gifts are in my life, even so we are to minister of the ability that God gives. It says, the next scripture, minister the same one to another as good stewards. I believe there's no better stewardship than to say, Lord, this is yours. Take it. Lord, this is yours. Use this to bless somebody else. And I've been challenged by these things. And I've been asking the Lord, Lord, how can I do a better job in these things? I don't want to rush through life serving Clint. There's a higher calling than that. I want to serve the Lord. And part of that is serving people, being able to serve and minister unto others. And so as the Lord blesses and as the Lord bestows, I don't want to just take it as a vast accumulation. Lord, how can I take this and give it? You know, I found that as you give to the Lord, I believe this, give to the Lord good measure. Again, not just grudgingly, but give to the Lord. Distribute to the necessity of saints. As I see my brother or sister in need, it may not be, it probably shouldn't be, a big production that I make. But maybe it's stop by their house and bless them with a little something. Maybe it's somebody that's down and not feeling well, and I cook a meal and take a bite to them. However, the Lord gives me the opportunity. Distribute to the necessity of the saints. Be given to hospitality. Let's turn while we're here in 1 Peter to the first chapter. 1 Peter 1 and 22 says, "Seeing ye purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit." Well, folks, that's a starting point. We're not going to be able to bless or be of much benefit and spiritual good to others until I make sure I've done that. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren. That's what it'll produce. That's what it'll result in our lives. An unfeigned love of the brethren. Folks, it'll be pretty shallow if it's put on. If it's faked. And I thank the Lord that the love that He gives to the people of God is not fake. I found it to be so. I found the love of the saints to be so real and so true and so meaningful. And I appreciate that very much. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Oh, it's not with ulterior motives. It's not because it's expected of me. It's not because other people are looking on and they're going to see this big sacrifice that I make for somebody else. But with a pure heart, because I love that individual, because I love you, because I love, we'll get into this a little more, because I love that soul that's out on the street. I want to be able to give. In whatever way the Lord gives me the ability to do, with a pure heart fervently. I think about the dawning of the Christian church. Whenever it says they were together of one heart and of one mind, and it says, as a paraphrase, that none of them had aught of their own, but they held it in common and they distributed it according to the needs. Well, I've got news for you. That's not the model of communism, by the way. It's not me as a self-appointed leader saying, give me that. I'm going to go give it to somebody else. I'm going to take this from you and I'm going to give it to somebody else. But folks, whenever there is a love within our hearts that is shed abroad in our hearts, that is God-given, that is genuine, that is pure, that is fervent, you know, you're not going to have to go try to coax people. And I believe there's a caution to the people of God about fundraising for God's work. I believe that you don't have to go coerce and try to force and manipulate and incentivize. Well, if you'll give this to the work of the Lord, you'll be entered into a drawing for... Oh, whenever the Lord lays on somebody's heart and they're serving Him from the heart, you don't have to do all that. Whenever we're serving the Lord from the heart, you know, we don't have to have tithing. That means we don't have to give to the Lord? No! That's not what that means. It means that I don't have to have a minister or a board of ministry appoint a set percentage of what thou shalt give unto the church and where thou shalt give it. No, serve the Lord with a pure heart fervently. Let the Lord tell you what to do with your money. Let the Lord tell you what to do with that which He puts into your hands. He knows better than I do. Let the Lord direct and guide what we give, and let it be done from the purity and the fervency of our heart. Well, I wasn't sure where all the Lord would take this, but you know, I have seen free will offerings work. It works! Whenever you have a people who are serving the Lord, it works! That's the way that we operate. And I thank the Lord for it. And I don't want to ever see that lost. You go to camp meeting and you ever seen the bill for what the food costs at a camp meeting? It's in the thousands, I believe over 10,000 for some of our larger meetings. Whew. Well, we could get together and we could divide up who all's going to, everybody RSVP, who all's going to come. Here's all the expected expenses. Divide by that number of people. Make sure, and somebody there to collect the money, and make sure you give, because otherwise we're not going to be able to cover the expenses that we have before us. But folks, I have never seen or heard of a shortfall at our meetings Just free will you give as the Lord lays on your heart. No pressure, no manipulation, no coercion. If the Lord lays on your heart, you give as you're able. And we have seen year after year after year the Lord bless that. I don't know, maybe he multiplies it in the offering box. I don't know. But the Lord provides and the Lord takes care of his business and his church and his word. Oh, it's a beautiful picture. I remember, well, I'll just be frank, the missionary efforts at Monarch. After services, when have refreshments and snacks, and they would kind of earmark offerings from that to go to mission work. But they would give suggested prices of here's what everything costs. You know, one year, a few years back, they said, you know what? We do it in everything else. Let's let this be free will offering. And of course, it was optional. It wasn't a main meal. But one of those, if someone wanted to go participate, they could join and enjoy the food and give to the mission fund. So they decided, you know what, let's just leave it to if they want to contribute to the mission work, they'll have an opportunity to do that. You know, they took up more money than before. And that's not why you do it, to try to maximize. Folks, the Lord knows how to work. If we serve the Lord with our hearts, with a pure heart fervently, the Lord knows how to do those things. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians chapter 2 and the fourth verse. Start with the third. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Our purpose, our calling, it's higher than just looking on my own things. And Lord, teach each one of us what that means for me. Because I'm not here to prescribe to you what that looks like for you. You serve the Lord with a pure heart fervently. Love God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. And the Lord, I believe, will open opportunities. Look every man also on the things of others. Let's turn to the book of Galatians. Galatians, the fifth chapter. The 13th verse says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another." I believe another scripture says, "For it is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision that availeth anything, but it is faith which worketh by love." Folks, that's the way anything of what we do and what we believe as a people, it's how it works. It is what motivates. It's what makes it possible. You don't do it without love. When you look at that liberty, and we could take advantage of that liberty to serve selfish interests and pursuits. But it says here, don't use this liberty, this freedom, just to serve yourself. But by love, serve one another. Galatians, the sixth chapter and the 10th verse, says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." As we have opportunity. You know, we can get, I don't know if you do like I do sometimes, can get overwhelmed looking at all the needs in our world today. When you think of all the families that are broken and children that are in poor situations in the foster system, and whenever you think about even just in our community, the homeless and the incarcerated and the drunkard, and on and on and on. And I think, where can I start? It feels hopeless, helpless to know how to address those needs. But you know, there's something I believe that's key in this scripture. It says, as ye have therefore opportunity. You know, if our heart is to serve the Lord and to serve one another, the Lord will give us opportunity, and we're not going to be held to account for the things the Lord didn't give us opportunity, I believe. But what the Lord gives into our hands, as the Lord gives us opportunity, and I've got to be able and willing to see the opportunity and to take the opportunity, to take that step. And I'll go so far as to say, Lord, give us the burden, the desire to say, Lord, give me opportunity. Lord, I'm asking you for opportunity. Lord, I want to be able to show somebody the love of God today. Lord, I want to be able to help bless somebody today. Lord, would you give me an opportunity? Lord, would you give me the chance? Lord, give us eyes to see it when it comes. As we have opportunity, do good. I want us to notice also it says unto all men, but especially unto the household of faith. You know, for me as a father and a husband, it would be pretty shallow for me to neglect the needs of my family and go out on the street saying, who can I help? Who can I minister to? Who can I? And my family's back home with their needs unmet. If any man provide not for his own, he's worse than an infidel, the scriptures say. So there is a starting point. I need to start with my own family. We may, who are gathered together here today or on Zoom, say, I don't know what to do out there. I don't know a lot of people out there. You know what? We know one another. Let's start there. We know one another. Let's minister unto one another. Let's not overlook those that are closest to us. To overlook that which is most apparent or most obvious, especially unto those in the household of faith. Let us do good. Let us not neglect the needs that are among us as the people of God. You think there's needs among the people of God? You think there are people that are lonely, hurting, need a friend, need a meal cooked, need some chores done around the house? And on and on. Let us do good as the Lord gives us opportunity. I'll say as part of that, there's a scripture that says, 1 Thessalonians 5, know then the labor among you. And we use that scripture, and I believe appropriately so, to an appropriate end, of those who would stand in our pulpits and minister, that they are to be an example of the believers. Their lives are to be consistent with the standard of the Word of God. That is a reasonable and scriptural expectation that we hold. If somebody walks in off of the street and makes their way up to the pulpit, going to stand and minister, that's not appropriate. Let's get to know you first. Let's have witness born of your spirit before that. And again, I believe that's an appropriate end. But you know, if you dissect that scripture, I believe it's the less accurate interpretation of it. And I believe more accurate or more literal interpretation is, make yourself not strangers unto those that labor among you. Well, this is getting a little close to home. I remember whenever Brother Stanley, he could get by with it. I'm not going to try to do as he did. I'll let him be the culprit and I'll use his words. But he said, whenever he came and began pastoring at Guthrie, remember Brother Stanley and his jovial manners, you know, thankful to be here and want you to know we're open to invitations. Anybody wants to have us over, we're open and accepting invitations. I eat just about anything except cucumbers. Well, again, I'm not fishing for invitations. But I want to emphasize, I believe there is a scriptural place that we are to be knit together in love, all of the body of Christ. And I believe that the scripture teaches as well, don't make yourself strangers. Let yourselves be knit together. Make friends of one another. Get to know one another. Don't view your minister, whether it's me or any of the other ministers of the saints, don't let him just be someone afar off and a stranger. Get to know him. Acquaint yourself with him. They might need a friend too. They might be able to be a friend unto you. The scripture talks about in 1 Timothy, believe, again, as I take a step back, that this is practical, useful, I hope, instruction to the people of God. 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, we won't read much of this, but it's given instruction unto the church of those who are widows. And that there was a responsibility unto the church in relation to the widows. Now it says, as part of this instruction, if the widow have children, then these children's responsibility is to care for their mother. That it's incumbent upon the child to learn and to have that responsibility unto their parents. But it also says, she that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusteth in God and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. Let not a widow, let's pick up the 10th verse, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work, care for her. But a thing about this model that's given, I'll call it an aspiration. Lord, I'm not an elder woman and I'm not a younger one. But I want to be able to minister like this. I want to be able to be given to the needs of others. Says, if they've raised children, if they have lodged strangers. So I want to go back to this idea of hospitality. We read that we are to do good, especially under the household of faith. But you know that word hospitality, again, is not just about inviting people over who are your friends. And I want us to note this. It's not just about inviting your friends over. I believe that's important. I believe that's profitable. I believe it's good for us as a congregation to spend time together, even outside of these walls, to strengthen those bonds of friendship that we have. But it's not just that. It's also, it says, if she have lodged strangers. Whoa, that's a feeling that makes you uncomfortable. Me, at least. Strangers? You mean even the way some of these strangers look? And I believe that there is prudence to be used in what we do. You know, I believe hospitality extends to those who are strangers as well. In fact, the scripture in Hebrews 13, the second verse tells us, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. So it says, remember, don't forget to entertain strangers. In other words, to care for them. To be mindful of their needs. Jesus talked about in the 25th chapter of Matthew, it's the throne scene, that he said to those on his right hand, whenever I was hungry, you fed me. Whenever I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And they said, Lord, when did we do that? And likewise, those on the left hand, contrary to that, he said, whenever I was hungry, you didn't feed me. Thirsty, you didn't give me something to drink. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was in prison, you didn't visit me. Lord, when did we see you this way and we didn't minister to those needs? And he said, as much as you have done it unto the least of one of these, you have done it unto me. So no, it wasn't me that you saw hungry, literally. But it was one of my people. It was a soul that I formed, that you looked on in their time of need, in their hunger, in their grief, in their destitute condition. And you ministered to them. And in doing that, you ministered unto me. Do we realize that that connection and the weight that that gives it? So I say, oh Lord, of course I'd want to wash your feet. He says, well then go and wash a stranger's feet. Maybe not literally, but go and bless them. Go and minister to them. Go and hold the door open for them. Go and put their shopping cart away. As much as you've done it unto the least of one of them, you have a reward. You've done it unto me as well. Luke, the 6th chapter, we'll conclude here shortly. Luke chapter 6. Beginning in verse 31. As ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Not just those that love me. Not just those that I give them a birthday gift and I know they're going to give me a birthday gift when my time rolls around. Not that kind of mindset. But who is it that doesn't even have the ability to give back to me? Who is it that I might not ever even see again? And I bless and I minister unto strangers. And then he took it a step further than that. Even those who are your enemies. Of course they're not going to feed you. Or maybe if they did, you'd be a little wary of eating it. But even your enemies, feed them. Bless them. Do good unto them as well. You know, that's the testimony of those that have gone before us. It's the testimony of the early morning church. I shared it a while back. Their testimony when the plague swept through the land. There would be families who the mother contracts the disease and they would take the mother out, leave her in the street because we don't want it in our household, and abandon the mother. And the saints would come along and take this lady, stranger, don't have no response, not my mother, I don't know her, diseased, and take her into their own home. And nurse and minister unto. Oh, folks, Lord, help us to be Christ's hands extended to this world. To minister unto according as the Lord has ministered unto us. Let's close on a similar note in Romans, the 12th chapter. We read further up in the chapter here. Romans 12 and the 20th verse. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Lord, help us to follow the example of Christ. And I pray that the Lord would take these thoughts this morning and help us to know how to apply it in my life. As I have opportunity, Lord, how can I do good unto others? Scripture says that he has redeemed unto himself a peculiar people, a people who are zealous of good works. Again, the good works aren't going to save us or get us to heaven, but it's a part of the package. When we love the Lord with all our heart, we'll want to help his people, other people, to be zealous, to have a heart of zeal. Lord, would you open up new doors of opportunity? Lord, help me to meet. And it can be uncomfortable. I'll tell you that. I don't necessarily like talking to strangers or going out of my comfort zone to try to reach out to or minister. I'd just rather get in my car and I'm guilty of it at times. I've got someplace to be. I've got something to do. You think they need help? And I've been challenged. Lord, help me to be given to hospitality. Lord, help me that be my heart. Lord, how can I be hospitable? How can I be your hand extended to those that are around? So again, in conclusion, it is to those that are friends. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. I believe it's good for us to invite one another over, to spend time with one another as we have opportunity. The saints come in, open up your homes and prepare the bed and come on in and so forth. I believe that's a part of hospitality, of being a good host, of not doing it grudgingly. We love having folks come see us and stay in our homes. And so that's a part of it. But it's also, as we've talked about, unto the strangers. Let us be zealous on it. Lord, how can I take what you've given me and bless a stranger with it as well? All right, now, Lord, how do I take these things unto my enemies? And how do I minister unto them? And by so doing, folks, I want to hear the Lord say, well done. By being pure of heart, redeemed, and by being his hand extended to this world, by fulfilling the commission of Christ. You may say, well, I'm not a minister. I'm not. Yeah, really, we are. We are all called to minister to those that are around us in whatever capacity and whatever opportunity the Lord gives us. You pray for me. Amen.